welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 412. That was my Gutterman coming to you from the Gutterman Cave here in a kind of a chilly Louisville, Kentucky. At least a little chilly for summertime here, but a nice weather, I should say. Spring-like, I guess, but yeah, pretty good. It's pretty good. It's just not hot, basically. So I'm not.
That's the best way. You're not complaining about that, Mike.
I'm not complaining about it. No, I'm still wearing my shorts and my flippy floppers, so it's all good, you know. But I do have a hood.
Cringing.
Yeah, it's the thong flippy floppers too, and so I got that good toe floss going on between the big toe and the second toe, and but I do have a hoodie on, so it's like hoodie and shorts weather that you would call this, which is it's usually a nice mild weather. So there you go. But as long as you can still air out the toes, it's you're still doing good in life. But this is a Monday night recording, and we have the Three Stooges here. And so let's get to our first co-captain all the way out in Los Angeles, California, La La Land, the City of Angels, Mr. Andre Dominguez. How you doing tonight, Andre?
I'm doing well, Mike. I've got the ceiling fan on to cool me down a little bit because I'm laying down on a hot water bottle on my lower back. Resting it up. We as you know, Kooks and I will get into, we had an eventful weekend, lots and lots of walking. So had a previous, you know, back injury from sleeping all weird on the couch the other day by accident, so just trying to heal up. But then like the hot water bottle is making me warmer than I wanted to be, so I'm trying to balance that out with the ceiling fan.
It sounds weird to me that, you know, Kooks comes to town and you end up with a back injury.
What's going on?
We have a good time.
Well, speaking of Kooks, out in the Golden State, California, who he must be visiting out there in the Pacific time zone, Mr. Kooks, Mr. Drunk Dark Room, Mike Kukovica. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Hey, I'm really happy we're all together again, man. And I'm happy I'm still here.
So, there you go.
I love hearing your voice, Mike.
I'm glad at least one person is happy to hear it.
I'm sorry Andre's back's hurt, you know. Gotta be a little more careful in the future. Make sure nothing bad happens.
My goodness.
But I didn't say I did anything.
I always say that Andre's an old soul, but I didn't realize that it was actually migrating to his actual physical woes as well. So, you know, but apparently, you know, it's
just not right, man. He's way too.
It's catching up to me, guys. You know, I'm no longer the green young thing I used to be.
Jesus Christ. And you're like 27?
27.
For crying. Okay. Well, I'll just shut up. But I remind you how old I am. But it drive it like you stole it, brother. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, it is only going to get worse. We can offer no respite for what's coming in your future aging of years. So
Every time I talk to someone, some old guy, and they're like, oh, geez, I wish I was 50 again. You know, you talk to some 50-year-old guy, and he's like, wow, I wish I was 40 again. Some 40-year-old guy, he's like, I wish I was 30 again.
So, I had this situation recently, and it happens every once in a while, where you get like, you know, an elderly gentleman, and he'll be like, how you doing there, young man? And I'm like, yeah. And I want to look around, so make sure he's talking to me, you know, and I appreciate that. And it's almost like it makes me almost as happy as this is something that happens down south quite a bit, and I just love it. And, you know, I just came from a trip up north. I was in Cleveland over the weekend. And I didn't get any of this in any of the drive-throughs or stores that we visited or whatever. But from about Kentucky on down, it's very common, especially at a drive-through or something, for like there to be a woman at the drive-through, and I'd be like, well, here you go, sweetie, or thank you so much, sweetheart, or honey, or. or all these things like that. And every time I just want to be like, oh, I just like you so much. I mean, that just that just makes my day, you know, like and some people might get offended by that. But every time someone says sweetheart or sweetie or honey or whatever, I'm like, oh, that's just the quaintest thing ever. I love it. So didn't get that in Cleveland so much.
Well, hopefully none of the listeners are in Cleveland, because I'm about to piss you off to say that Cleveland is the mistake by the lake. Okay. You ever watched, what was it, the like 2003 World Series when the Yankees were in Cleveland and there was all those mosquitoes everywhere? You remember that? Like,
oh, I don't remember that. No.
Everywhere. Of course, it looked worse on TV than it was, right? It's like rain, because like they use like a really telephoto lens. So like the lens is seeing probably like 1,000 yards of distance. So like as the water or the mosquitoes were, it looks like 5 times worse than it would if you were standing there, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like just like kind of compacting all of that. But yeah, but I know what you mean, Mike. It's like it's so disarming when people say that. Not that you're armed or that it's like a battle or anything, but it's like it's nice. It really is nice.
Well, when we were leaving Cleveland, my wife wanted a coffee as we were leaving, and we stopped at this Dunkin' Donuts and we're in the drive-thru, and you know, they give us our stuff and they don't even like, okay, like there's no thank, you're not even a thank you, like okay, right. Like do we have
everything? Cleveland
like,
for you. It's Cleveland, man.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But like the Southern way, or like it is funny what you said though too about like when people say, you know, young man or, you know, whatever, it's like it kind of makes you feel good. I'm like, all right, I know you're old enough to know how old I am.
Right.
So
right.
I, you know, you're like throwing me a softball there. So
right.
I appreciate it. So
I think I'm gonna start making a point to go ahead and start, you know, I've been doing a really fine job at using my son's terminology and talking their language to him, right? So I think that I'm going to start also working on my old man language so that I can hit both. And like, I think I'm going to start calling people even just 5 to 10 years younger than me, young man. And I'm going to start calling alcohol booze. And
I love the word booze. Booze is just, it's proper. It's just proper. But dude, if we start calling men, does that mean we're older than we already are?
I'm going to start handing out hard candies, you know, like.
Well, just don't wear a trench coat.
Oh, my God. Only allowed by grandmas.
I don't know. I think granddads can get by with like Werther's, right? Those are Werther's originals.
Oh,
I think,
those are good. Yeah.
The little strawberry ones.
Oh yeah, yeah. My wife saw something on on Instagram or something like that. It was something about like, you know, those little strawberry hard candies, right? And said nobody knows where to buy them. You never see them, but every grandmother has it. It's like the minute you become a grandmother, there's a candy dish appears on your table full of those things. Like apparently some fairy comes in and drops us. Because have you ever seen where you buy those things at? Those little strawberry hard candies? Those aren't in stores.
Yeah, they're like flat on the backside, right?
Yeah,
and they're like a little bit like whitish. They're like, you know, like reddish pink, but like they have like a white like.
Like, I think they stopped.
It's like flat, right?
Yeah, and you're right. There's like a whitish sort of coating or like powdery substance on them. Sort of. It's almost like they stopped the manufacturing them in like 1976 was the last round they made of. And like we're still going through the stock that they made, you know. But this is a photography podcast, people, believe it or not. And I think it's that time when we should catch up on what we've been doing. So we always start off in Candyland over there in Los Angeles, California, with Mr. Andre Dominguez. So Andre, what you got, brother?
Well, I guess, I mean, I think it'll probably be a fluid, you know, mixing of experience.
Oh yeah, you all had a hot date, basically, obviously. So
absolutely, me, Mike.
You know, you can drop the fluid. People. You don't need to use the word fluid.
Well, this past Saturday, we had a photo walk that was hosted by Cinestill as part of our kind of summer Cinestill tour thing that I think that's what we're calling it. You know, this is really why I'm not on the marketing team. But essentially, the idea is to, you know, capitalize on the fact that we've got members of the Cinestill crew, you know, traveling, scattering all over the globe to connect with our, you know, folks that shoot our film, use our chemistry, provide an opportunity for people to meet each other, ask questions of our team. And the turnout in LA was crazy. I mean, I think we were estimated at a little over 200 people showed up.
Really? Wow. There.
We took this really big group photo out on like the front lawn in front of City Hall in downtown LA. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. What were kind of some of your impressions, Mr. Kukovica?
The amount of people that were there was definitely massive. And what really imported it to me was when we got there, you're like, okay, I got to go over and I guess I got to hand out some film. And then like you came back like 10 minutes later and you're like, yeah, there's way too many people here for us to hand out film. So we're going to have to do something else.
We ended up doing like a raffle system. Like we gave out raffle tickets. And at the end, like the sort of the end point destination of the photo walk was the Arts District Brewing Company there in the Arts District of downtown LA. And, you know, film and other like T-shirts, I'm sure, got distributed there. But yeah, as soon as we saw how many people, we were like, yeah, we don't think we can give away film to everybody.
I mean, Cinestill doesn't have the budget to give away 200 rolls of film. What's going on here? Like,
we didn't bring that many rolls.
it was packed. I'm surprised that was the number because it was huge. I mean, I thought there would have been more than that by looking at it when we got there, and we were there on time. But it was like, holy crap, this is like a yeah, there was a lot of people there.
Wow. And
I guess the cool thing too was it seeing all the different cameras that people had. You know, I mean, like there was like, I don't really think outside of like a store shelf or like a cabinet, I've seen a Pentax 6.7, but there were plenty of them there. There was a tons of Leicas, like tons of M6s. There was some, you know, like Olympus and Canon SLRs, but the one that I caught that I really liked is, do you know that camera? It's a Fuji camera, and it's a folder with little bellows, and I know it does at least 6x7, and I think 6x6 or 6x9, or maybe it does all three. Someone's gonna be screaming, Roden, to hear me say this.
F670.
Yes, that thing. And that the funny thing was about that was, right, didn't Fuji stop making that in like 2012 or 13? And then like 5 or 6 years later, B&H was like, oh yeah, we just found a pallet of these in our warehouse. And
oh, wow.
Like, yeah, and they were selling them for like $3,000 or something, and it was probably a good deal. But I mean, those cameras are, I mean, they're amazing cameras, right? I mean, and I saw there was one person that had it, which was pretty cool. And the other thing that was like a small thing for me was that Tim Ryugo was there, and I probably shot 4 or 5 pictures of him talking. And it was funny because I was like, oh, I know who that is. I'm like, that guy's awesome. Let me see if I can get a picture, you know, and I'm trying to take some pictures, and my eyeballs and my focusing screen weren't necessarily lining up. So I don't know, maybe I didn't get anything, but the funny part was he was talking to this other guy about, well, actually, I'm not sure. I just remember him saying, well, you know, if Steve Jobs came over and offered us like some number of $1 billion, yeah, we'd sell the company to him. It's like, well, that's an interesting conversation. Where did that start? but it was funny after like I took the fifth picture of him, he's like, he like actually looked at me and he smiled, and I just shook his hand. I was like, hey, man, thank you. So. But no, it was fun, man. It was super fun. Andre and I, we saw a couple of friends, Ryan Green, this guy, Ryan, he had this project called Payphones of Los Angeles. And he was going around taking all the pictures of all the payphones in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a good idea because nothing's disappearing faster than those, right? So, yeah.
Oh, man. And then, like, then he goes back and then he's got these, like, retrospective pictures of, you know, like, 2012 and then, like, 2023. And there's, like, you know, the four studs on the ground where the phone used to be.
Yeah.
So, but he's awesome, man. That guy is he's so cool. And so we talked to him. And then Omid, we got to spend some time with Omid. And if I'm cutting you off, Andre, you should speak up because I knew Omid through Instagram, but I never met him in person. But you already knew him for some time in person.
Yeah. I've known him for a few years now. I think I met him at the Papaya, you know, the film photography. actually, so speaking of the Paideia, this really had a lot of that same kind of vibe. I think this was probably more people than the Paideia was, and the Southern California analog photography community hadn't had something of that scale since then, and that was February 2019.
Wow. So who actually put on this event? What was it called, and who was the actual main people that put this on? I mean, I'm a little in the dark about this now.
So this was a photo walk organized by Cinestill.
So it was a Cinestill event. Okay.
Though it was also sponsored by three labs here in the greater LA area. The Icon, 35M Pro, and Postmix Film Lab. So it was also like a great opportunity for us to introduce, you know, a whole city's worth of film photographers to three, you know, labs that we have great relationships with that know how to process and scan our film well. Great opportunity for, you know.
So what did you all title the event?
Good question. Let me pull it up here.
I might need that for the show.
They had
kind of just called Cinestill World Tour, Los Angeles Downtown Photo Walk. I'm looking at the post here on Instagram.
Cinestill's what?
The Cinestill World Tour. Los Angeles Downtown Photo Walk.
Wow. Okay. What was it really a world tour? You know, it's sort of like the baseball World Series. It's not really the world.
Hold on. We've had one in Berlin. We've got, you know, one in LA. We're doing Rochester in a few weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to be heading up one in Tampa when I go visit my family at the end of this month.
Oh, nice.
Okay. All right. I see. The band's going on tour. I got it. All right.
But one of the cool stories that I want to offer is the fact that during the, like, once we all got to the Arts District Brewing Company, which, by the way, if anybody's not yet gotten a chance to go, please do go. Like, it's, you know, pretty good beer. I wouldn't say like amazing beer. glowing advertisement. No,
I mean, it's no Miller Lite, so I mean, you know.
No, it's much better than that. But they've got a great little outdoor area and indoor area with, like, they've got like skee ball and like some fun games that you don't always see at bars or breweries. But when we were there doing the raffle giveaway stuff, obviously I couldn't, you know, participate as a Cinestill employee. And Tim Ryugo was also kind of like on the outskirts and stuff. I don't know if he actually was paying attention. He didn't seem like he was paying too close attention to the numbers being read out. And he was at least okay with me kind of, you know, saying hello and bending his ear for a chat. And I talked about, you know, kind of how things were going at Cinestill. We chatted a little bit about the industry. And when I mentioned to him that I was actually planning on moving to North Carolina at the beginning of next year, we got into this like really awesome conversation about the course of his career and the times that he had to, you know, move for the job and the effect on family. And it was just a really cool, like, adult conversation. And he wished me, you know, good luck with the move, the rest of, you know, the career within this industry that's, you know, amazing but very crazy. Mm-hmm. So, this was the deepest conversation I'd ever had with Tim. Usually it had always been pretty kind of quick and superficial. But I really appreciated that.
For people that don't know, Tim Ryugo, been with Kodak for years and years now with Kodak Alaris, in case people are wondering what we're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was with Kodak for decades back when it was single Kodak, but now he effectively runs like distribution for North America for Kodak Alaris.
Yeah. Did he have any insight about the possible sale of Kodak from Alaris?
No, I didn't ask him because I figured everybody was asking him about that. I was just how are you doing? how's your family? What have you been doing? With the weather warming up type of thing. And then
I get you. I sort of feel like me and my buddy talk about, I have a buddy that has an acquaintance and even has some recording time promised to him from famed producer in Chicago, Steve Albini, who recorded a lot of classic 90s, some of the best albums of the 90s. And he had a chance to talk to Mr. Albini one time, and he's like, I don't want to ask him about Nirvana. I can't ask him about Nirvana. Man. I'm like, I can ask him anything but Nirvana, even though I want to, but I know everybody asks him that. So I have to ask him about something else, you know?
Well, maybe that's part of the conversation that I missed. You know, I heard him like joking about it after the question was already posed and he already answered. And then I hear him talking about Steve Jobs, you know. So, yeah, it's oh, man. But he seemed like a really nice guy, though. I mean,
yeah, I've only met him one time. And when I went down to the Nashville photo thing down there or whatever, there was a Kodak film walk and he was kind of in charge of it, and I got to talk to him just for a split second, and at the time I so badly wanted him to come on the podcast, but I don't think we had that much weight to throw around at that time. It was several years ago. I don't think we had the weight to throw around now either, but it was almost like asking Albini about Nirvana. I couldn't ask Tim Ryugo to come on the Negative Positive podcast.
I get it, man. I get it. But you never know, man. Maybe it's more about him than it's about you, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just didn't have the...
Depends on your point of view, I suppose.
Yeah.
He seemed like a good guy, man. I think.
Oh, yeah. You know. No, I'm not saying he was intimidating in any way, shape, or form. I just didn't. I didn't have the confidence and the weight of the Negative Positive podcast at that time.
Nah, so. I get you, buddy.
All right. So, what else y'all got from that? Anything else?
Well, hang on a second. Before even the photo walk. So in the morning, you know Circus Liquor, Mike, because you heard about it. You've got a bottle that says
Circus Liquor. I do.
And you know that they make burritos in the evening, right? Mm. So they have the Pablito's burritos. But in the morning, there's like a different crew that makes breakfast burritos, and they're freaking good. Mm. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, Andre and I, so we met up with Omid. Because this guy, I mean, like, I'm sort of happy with the darkroom bathroom that I have. This guy's got, like, half of a garage, maybe more when he moves some stuff around. But he's got, like, a big section. And so we went over to his place, and he showed us his darkroom. He's got really nice and larger. It's a Saunders. I don't know that brand very well. Mm-hmm. But he's got a really nice enlarger. He's got, you know, all the stuff. He's got safe light. Sorry. Sound like a moron. But
he's got sodium vapor.
Yeah.
A huge lab sink with like an inline.
Oh, dude. It's like 10 feet wide. It is like, I would love to have that sink. I know it sounds ridiculous, but from a guy that uses a bathtub, to like have like a stainless sink at waist level would be like, yeah, I was like kind of lusting after that. And the other part about this guy that he has is this film fridge. And that film fridge was like, come on, Andre, like help me out, man. It was like he had everything in there.
About as many people as attended the photo walk downtown, there were packs of FP100C, Type 55. He's a big, you know, instant film guy, and he shoots it a ton. Like,
Well, he spent a frame on us.
Yeah, yeah. We did a little portrait where what was his idea? It was kind of like sort
he
of
was like, saying like he wanted us to like be looking like a prom picture, like we're both looking into the future, like off to the side looking up. And Andre looked pretty good. I looked like one of the guys from the Chicken Run, you know, like, you know, that those claymation, you know, like the way my smile. And of course, the top of my head was completely blown out because I wasn't wearing a hat, you know, like white skin, white sky.
There's only a limited amount of dynamic range, right? So that shiner's only gonna go so far.
I've always wanted to do a photo project. Andre, this would be before your time, but and this happened a lot in 70 shows. I particularly remember Starsky and Hutch. Always had at the end of the show, like they would be in like the police headquarters or whatever, and somebody would tell a joke and like, and then they would laugh or something, and it would freeze frame, and like there'd always be one, you know, a couple people laughing, there'd be one person with a scowl, and one person would be pointing at the person that told the joke or whatever. Like there was all these goofy freeze frames at the end of the show, and I've always wanted to, like, next time I'm out with a group of friends, be like, let's recreate a bunch of ending Starsky and Hutch freeze frame scenes.
Dude, it's like the Dukes jumping at the end, right? The Duke boys, you know what I mean? And generally, it's like, but it's like so prototypical. I know exactly what you mean.
Right?
You say that. I think
it'd be a hilarious. You could say just one roll film, you know, just of an out. Friends and just recreate a bunch of those freeze frames. There's always like the one guy with the scowl, like maybe he's the butt of the joke. Yeah. There's several people laughing. Someone's usually pointing at somebody like, oh, you old scoundrel. You know, like,
that's perfect. It's that. Yes. It's like, cause all that stuff happening, but like when you see it, you kind of like roll your eyes a little bit, but like, you also like appreciate it. You come to expect it. Right. At least in terms of the TV show, but
where are they going to freeze it at?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Oh man. So there you go. There's my photo. There's my next photo book.
That would be a good photo book, Mike. That would be worthwhile.
Oh man. But so what else? Anything you all, I got nothing. So you all just keep on. Just whatever you got, man. Like anything else?
Well, one of the things that, you know, was a cool topic of conversation with both Omid and then later on with Ryan as well was just kind of opening up the space and then also the knowledge with regards to darkroom printing to a few, you know, select friends. Omid isn't interested in like running a community darkroom, you know, by any means. He's a busy firefighter who works, you know, crazy hours, like 24 or 48 hour long shifts. He's got, you know, a young kid in school and a wife, but I really do appreciate the fact that, you know, when he does have some time carved out, he's invited me over multiple times and we've been able to kind of share what we know about darkroom printing and teach each other certain techniques. And he invited, you know, myself and Kooks, the next time that Kooks is in town, we'll let him know, you know, plenty in advance so he can try to kind of get those days off, both, you know, from work and the wife and kid, to have a little darkroom printing party. And I've extended the same thing, not extending Omid's invitation without his approval, but extending my own invitation to our buddy Ryan, who lives here in LA, again, not too far away. Anytime that, you know, he wants to, you know, get together and do some printing. Again, I'm taking what I'm learning from Omid. I'm taking what I'm learning from Kooks and just trying to pass that on and create a sense of community through darkroom printing.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Nice. Kooks, what do you got anything else?
Well, I guess Saturday.
you don't have to make up anything. I mean, just
No. Oh, I have plenty of fuck ups. I don't need to make up, man. So here's a great one. So, well, this isn't off topic, is it, Andre? The Sinistel, like the HQ afterwards.
Oh no, we completely even forgot to talk about that. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So Andre, like when we were at the brewery place, Andre's like, "Hey, there's a few people going back to the Sinistel headquarters. You want to come by?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course." You know, I mean, why not? I mean, it's like, that's like,
oh, is this the first time you've been invited into Andre's inner sanctum?
Well,
I had to like pick something up from work one time early in the morning when we were going to be heading out, but it was always on the weekend. Nobody was there.
And you know,
it
was
kind of like a little after party.
This is a different level in your all's relationship. It's almost like he's brought you home to mom, you know? Like,
oh, dear Lord. I already met his parents.
You know what I mean? Like, I met my parents a long time ago. They already approved.
That's like settled law, man. That's so I did go there once, and it was funny though, because that whole place was full of pallets.
Yeah.
And I still remember thinking, like, where did these come in? Like, what door? I don't see a door big enough for these things to have come through to be in here. But yeah, so we went over to the Sinistel HQ, and there was a bunch of people over there hanging out. And, man, you know, Ethan Moses was doing the thing where he was doing 16 by 20, like, direct positive portraits, I think.
Oh, so Ethan was there, huh?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
But like, as context, if you knew that you were, oh, that so he had like, done that.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Like,
he did almost kind of like a little like couple week long residency thing at the Wyckoff Windows studio in Brooklyn. Right. Collaborated a bunch with the folks over there at Brooklyn Film Camera. Bunch of, you know, analog photography influencers and YouTubers type of thing. I think he was running a Kickstarter campaign to kind of bring that same idea here to LA, but I think that didn't end up meeting its goal. But
oh yeah, I remember that. Yep. I think we had him on to talk about that, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. Yeah.
That's right. You did. Mm-hmm. And so I only bring that up as context because when we came in, it was like down at the end was this gigantic camera. You know, you're looking at, like, imagine it's like a hallway, which is not really the way to describe it, but like, you know, it's the same sort of shape as a hallway, and at the end of it, it looks like a 4x5 camera, only it's 20x24. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like it's like on this thing. I mean, the only way I can describe it is at my work, we have these big platforms that you can take the engine out of a car in. It's like a big flat plate, and it's got like this scissor lift mechanism underneath it to lower.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what this camera was on. A simplified version.
Right.
Like, I'm like, holy crap. You know, like, and there's lights and stuff. And, you know, you kind of saw that. And I walked in and, you know,
so it was the BFC 1000, basically.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. Although I have to admit, when we went in there, I was like, oh, that's cool. But I'm like, where's the bathroom? I mean, I already knew where it was, but you know, it's a funny part. You can go to breweries, you can walk around, you can go to food trucks, you can do all kinds of stuff, but finding a bathroom sometimes is really difficult. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that is. Maybe that's just me, but anyhow, so yeah. But they were taking these pictures on RA4 paper, direct positives of people in there, and it was so cool. I mean, I think that guy Matt has ball cap on, and he was trying to make like a really tough face, and that one was pretty cool. And then they took a picture of, well, his son was first, right? That was already hanging up. That was his son, right? Or was that somebody else's?
That was a different coworker's son.
I'm sorry. It was a little guy. Then there was this guy, Matt. And then, but the lady was his wife, right?
Fiance, yeah.
Yeah. So then it was him and his wife. And then Andre got one after that. And then after that, they had the whole group, which they graciously invited, you know, my ugly mug into. And, but what was really cool, Mike was, I mean, like, I don't really understand color theory that well, especially in this way, that whatever they were doing to straighten out the colors, skin tones were coming out great for mm-hmm. everyone that was there, but gray was turning into red.
Oh, wow.
Like, the Andre was wearing, like, this, well, I guess I could call it a lumbersexual jacket shirt, you know what I mean? Like, the plaid. You know what I mean? Right. Lumbersexual meaning, you know, the beard, the glasses, the hat, and then the plaid. You know, but it wasn't red. It was gray. It was like gray and white.
I identify as a lumber munchkin. Thank you.
Sorry. I didn't mean to miss, I don't know what you.
A modern Pacific Northwest hobbit. it was a gray shirt. And it came out kind of like this, like, weird magenta-ish purple.
But what was funny is his skin tone was right. He had a Cinestill pin that's red that was 90% right. And same thing, I was wearing one of the – I brought my shirt, the Naked Photographers, the Struggle is Real, R-E-E-L, with, like, the 35mm stainless steel reel. You know what I mean?
Right.
That is like, it's a little darker than middle gray. It's probably like a zone 4 gray. And it came out red. So, yeah, it was completely crazy. But cool. Super cool.
Sure.
It's so big. And when the guy, so I guess they in the dark, he put the paper in a developing tank, developed it, stopped it, took it out, re-exposed it to light, and then put it in, I guess, a color developer. Mm-hmm. And watching the colors come up, it's cool. I mean, like, if you ever watch, like, a plain black and white, you know, paper image, you know, come to life from nothing, where this is already, like, your negative, but then it goes from black and white to colors, it's cool.
That's crazy.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like a color Polaroid, but instead of it having it completely white first, like you do see an image there. It's like a very light inverted like gray image on mm-hmm. on white, and then as you're sloshing around the chemicals, everything starts to change and the colors come out, and it's just such a cool process. And these
photos are massive, right? You said they're 20 by 24. Is that right?
20 by 24.
Wow.
Huge. I mean, in the end, it was like 20 by 20 was the image. So that even like furthered the Polaroid allegory.
Feel to it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
the black like had, bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it was. But then it went from like the color developer into the Blix. And it was funny because the Blix was like, what were they calling it? The bloodbath?
Calling it the bloodbath.
Most of the people around there were calling it the bloodbath, but it still changed color slightly and density slightly. But then, you know, then they drain it out and then rinse it off. And yeah, it was just, that's so cool. That was so cool.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Yeah, that's awesome.
And our buddy who was the, you know, the one who owns the camera, who stores it there at the office. He's been working on it for a while. He did some 8x10 tests like a couple months ago. And then I saw him, doing some test shots with the 20x24 paper like a couple weeks ago, but even the ones that I saw a couple weeks ago, like the results still weren't great. Like he hadn't really nailed it. And I think he's very, very close now.
Very cool.
And okay. If you're of a certain age, you have to picture this too. So when I think it was your picture, Andre, that was in the color developer. You know, they have an old school record player in front of the place, and they were playing like old rock, and the Doors was playing when Andre's picture was going from black and, you know, that gray and white to color. And it was just like, this is proper. You know what I mean? And I can't remember the exact song. It wasn't the end, which I wish it was, but it was one of the Doors, you know, best songs. I mean, they're all the Doors.
Right.
Are
awesome. Right.
So, I mean, they were all good, but yeah, that just like added to the ambiance isn't the right way to put it, but like the feel of the whole thing, it just added to it. And they were all, everyone in that place was awesome. That guy, Omar from Is it Postmix Lab?
Yep, Postmix Film Lab up the street.
Oh, man, that guy was awesome too, man. I had a good conversation with him. And, you know, the thing about that guy that I really adore is that he can DSLR scan red scale and have it look good. Mm. Holy crap. If you've ever tried to DSLR scan red scale film, it is hard. I mean, I have tried it mostly face planted, but that guy could pull it off and he showed examples. But yeah, man, everyone there was, that was so cool.
You know, you mentioned, there's two things that you mentioned, Kooks, that reminded me of something, because I've got nothing to talk about. So we were overdue for an episode where I didn't have anything to talk about. So this is, I'm filling that quota on this one. But I was, you know, on this road trip to Cleveland to take my wife up to a family, a wedding shower, basically. So, you know, we have Sirius satellite radio in our Ford Escape, and it which comes in real handy on road trips. But it's a lot of channel flipping going on. So I hear songs that I wouldn't necessarily listen to on a normal basis. But you know, particularly a lot of classic rock that, you know, I'd rarely make an occasion of listening to classic rock. But I do get exposed to it through Sirius satellite radio than I would like, because I feel like I've heard those songs a bazillion times in my life. But speaking of not being able to find a bathroom or just classic rock in general, a song came on that I hadn't really, I've always known the song, and but I hadn't really listened to the lyrics that closely. And I was really kind of paying attention to the lyrics, because they're kind of funny. But it's like, it's Joe Walsh from the Eagles. And I hate the fucking Eagles, man. But, you know, but.
Hate the fucking Eagles, man. Get off my cam.
But this is a solo song of his, and it's Life's Been Good, right? And one of the lyrics that cracked me up was, I go to parties sometimes until 4. It's hard to leave when you can't find the door.
Dude, absolutely. I know that exactly when you say that. I can't think of the melody, but
right. For sure. I go to parties sometimes until 4.
Boom. That's right.
It's hard to leave when you can't find the door. and I was like, I got a good kick out of that. It's like, all right, well, classic rock for the win on that one, I guess. But there you go.
But Mike, do you really hate the Beatles? Do you really hate the Eagles?
I do. Absolutely, I do. Like, I am with Lebowski on this one, man. Yes, I do.
Can I ask you what it is?
I don't know. Probably because I've overheard him my entire life. But and I'll never forget, man, I was at my aunt's a couple summers ago, and she was having a pool party, and somebody had on a really horrible like mix of classic rock playing or whatever, and the Eagles came on, and I was just, you know, quoting Lebowski. I was like, I hate the fucking Eagles, man. And and like, everybody looked at me really weird, and like, wow, Mike really hates the Eagles. And I was like, Big Lebowski, like, y'all, none of them had seen it.
Hello.
And I was like, how have y'all not seen this movie? Right. But they were thinking I was really overreacting, but but whatever. So
I don't know, man. I like the Eagles. I like some of their stuff.
We've been going for 46 minutes already, so we should probably. There was a little photo talk in there, so that's good. But
some.
It was. All right, we're going to take us a break, and we're going to figure out something else to talk about, hopefully photography related. So we'll be back in right after this break. All right, folks, we're back we're going to do one more segment. And we thought about something that we wanted to kind of talk about during the break. And just kind of simple, the summer is upon us, at least here in the United States of America, in the Northern Hemisphere. It is summertime. And just kind of like what we kind of want to accomplish with our photography during the summer, maybe something that we would we've been thinking about shooting, or just kind of summer shooting plans. That's our topic for this segment. And well, we always usually start with Andre. Why would we stop that trend? So Andre, you got any personal things you want to accomplish during these sultry summer months? hot town summer in the city. Back of your neck getting dirty and gritty. Another classic rock song there, by the way.
I will be heading over to Sarasota, Florida to go visit my parents. And my sister and her fiance are actually going to be there as well. I haven't seen them in about 3.5 years. So It'll be a nice little, you know, mini family reunion. And the main thing photographically that I would like to accomplish, aside from just my usual kind of candid family documentary style stuff on black and white, is I would like to take, you know, not like a formal, like, quote unquote engagement shoot with my sister and her fiance, but just focus on making sure that while we're all there, I'm getting lots of pictures of the two of them, especially at the beach. I'll probably end up making some darkroom prints of those to give to them as like a little wedding present.
Awesome. That sounds like a great idea. I wouldn't say yourself short. You can call it an official engagement portrait session. You know, I mean, you got the skills to pay the bills.
Well, the reason I'm not doing that is because if I fuck it up, I haven't fucked up their engagement photos. I've just fucked up a few snapshots.
No, but Andre, when you say that, that reminds me. Actually, I think you were sleeping in the car when we were driving to the photo walk.
Imagine.
I was talking to Omid about it, and he was saying that because he was going to a wedding the same day, right? So that guy, talk about a jam day. You know, we came over to his place, we took him to the photo walk, and then his wife, so he had to pack his stuff in their car before we left, and then his wife picked him up, and somehow he did the Superman change, and they went to a wedding somewhere in Orange County, which is not exactly right around the corner. So, but he was talking about, you know, I asked him if he ever takes pictures at weddings, and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, I like to try to take a picture, you know, as not the photographer, but like if I can get a picture or two of the, you know, the couple, and then maybe make a darkroom print and then send it to them maybe a year later. You know what I mean? Like a different view. You know, they already had their wedding pictures. I've already been through their, you know, their honeymoon. Sorry, words don't come to me always as quick as they should. But, you know, they've been to their honeymoon. They've been living together for a while. You know what I mean? Like, and then, then you send them like a different view that they hadn't seen. You know, they kind of like appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I, when you say that, Andre, it makes me think of the same thing, right? Like, yeah, they had their official this and that, but like they don't have a picture from you. They don't have a picture of the way you see it. They don't have a picture from the way you care about them. And at a certain point in time as well. So, I mean, like that is completely awesome, you know?
Right.
And the less pressure on the whole thing helps a lot too,
you know. Yeah, I have a former bandmate of mine is getting married. I don't know if it's this fall or if it's gonna be next year, so I can't remember, but they talked to me about it, and they're like, hey, Mike, we want you to we don't want you to be the official photographer because we want you to have fun, you know, we want you to drink and party with us and all that stuff, but if you could bring a camera and like just take some cool film photos, you know, you don't have to, but we would just really love it if you would. And I'm like, and I appreciate they're not putting any pressure on me, but I already like feel pressure about it, you know, like, so it's like,
well, it's cause you care.
If you, yeah, but it's good. It's cause I would, cause I want them to, cause yeah. I know that there's gonna be part of them thinking that, oh, Mike's going to take some cool photos. Well, what if they're not cool? You know, like, I don't know, like.
But dude, the way they presented it, they might have forgot about it already. Mm-hmm. So, like, just do the best you can.
Right,
it comes from your heart, and whatever, you know what I mean. Whatever comes from your heart, that's good enough, man. That is good, and I don't mean it. Good enough is kind of a bad phrase, but like, it is good. If you did what you could, and you give it to them, they'll love it. They will love it.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, as long as I don't screw it up. Yeah, but
Stop cutting your knees off. I mean, we do that as like a defense mechanism, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Like I'm always pretty self-deprecating. Ask Andre, right? But you know, because it's a safe thing, right? But yeah, you got it, man. You got it. You can do something good. You can do something good for them.
I'll give it a shot. What? See? What? What? Look out.
Man. I love it.
Andre, you got anything else? It sounds like a pretty, you got some good plans. You got anything else you wanted to mention?
No, just really excited to see my family and take some pictures of them. I'd love to actually, another thing I would really like to do, I'd love to put a camera in my sister's hands. She's always been pretty good at photography, but never really kind of stuck with it for long enough to do it regularly. I'm excited to, you know, even something, you know, the little half frame Kodak camera.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be that would be fun.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Well, Andre, you have one of those Harman 35s too, right? I mean, that would probably be equal to the what you just mentioned, right? Only be full frame, but
the Easy 35 that I had broke because I lent it to a friend who dropped it about 5-6 times. The only kind of reusable, disposable type camera that I have right now is the Kodak half frame.
It's one thing to drop something once, but like 5 or 6 times, like, do you even care by then? Like, oh, hey, this is Andre's camera. I already dropped it 4 times, so
what's the fifth going to matter? Goes again.
Let's see what happens. You know. Sorry.
Well, maybe that sounds like Andre's summer camp adventure. So, what about Kooks? What you got going on this summer? What's something you'd like to do?
Summer? Well, I'll tell you, since I'm here in California, one of the things I brought with me is a roll of the red rum. I bought some and Andre gave me some. I can't remember which one.
Oh, you mean Andre gives his friends film sometimes? That's weird, huh?
Sometimes.
Strange, sometimes. Yeah. That's weird.
You know.
I guess some people make the list, some people don't.
Why do they even say it? What the hell is the matter with me? You think by now, you know. But anyway, I've got a roll of red rum, and point being, when Andre and I had our hot weekend date, and we went to Kingman, you know, I mean, I shot, I think, like 2 rolls of red rum. And I developed it myself and like failed hard at scanning it with DSLR. So, and what's funny is I wrote, our friend of the show, Mario Piper, right? Mm-hmm. He's a guy that loves turquoise and loves all those like kind of edge films. And I wrote him and I said, hey buddy, like how in the world do you scan this stuff? And his answer was, I have a lab do it. So I'm like, all right, man. I message received. So I've got a roll of red rum. I wanted to take some pictures of some Joshua trees before I leave, and I really want to get what I can see in my head. And what I can see in my head is, I'm going to use a polarizer on the camera, and I want to get like the sky from the top down really red. I want to get the ground as red as I can. And the trees are red as I can, and then maybe like the gradient in the middle. You know how like the sky is like darker blue at the top and it's like lighter toward the horizon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, is if I can get the horizon kind of like yellowy, orangey, and then like the top and the bottom red and the tree red. So that's one of the plans I have. I'm going to send it into the dark room. That's what I'm going to have do it, because they're pretty good. So that's one thing. I did bring a roll of turquoise with me that I want to put in my pinhole and see if I can take some pictures of that while I'm still here. I got another 2 weeks while I'm here. So that's kind of that plan. My wife's best pal from when she was a kid, her and her daughter are going to visit us in July, early July. and her daughter is just cute as a button. And the only reason I bring it up is that I haven't worn her down with taking pictures of her yet. I like everyone else I know like doesn't want me to take pictures of them anymore because they're tired of it.
Right.
But like this young lady is still pretty open to it. And so last time she was here, I wanted to take some double exposures of her, and most of them failed, but one of them came out good. So I'm hoping to pick that up and carry it on a little bit. And I think, yeah, those are the two main things I want to do. Although I will say, one of the things that I did retrospectively make a mistake on is that not far from Cinestill HQ is an Arby's, and it's on Sunset, right? That's on Sunset, right? Isn't Andre?
Is that Sunset? Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. So, but it's got one of those old school cowboy hat signs.
Oh, the big cowboy hat sign. Yeah.
Totally. And you know, I've seen a couple pictures of that from Tim Anderson, right? Everyone knows Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like the sign guy.
Oh, and yeah.
That guy is, he is so good.
Yes, he is. We need to have him on the show. I can't believe we haven't had him on. Yeah.
But yes, we need to. We absolutely need to. But one time, Andre and I, we went and ate a Thai place that was next to that. And I remember going like, hey, that would be fun to take a picture of sometime. And when we were at Cinestill HQ, Andre was like, hey, do you want to go over to take pictures of that? I was like, well, yeah. Well, lest you think that everything went well, remember who you're talking to. You know, I managed to remember to bring a step stool, right, before I left work. I think it was before we went to Kingman. I bought a step stool. And again, in inspiration from Tim Anderson, like when he goes on his photo trips, he like puts a ladder in the back of his truck so that, you know, when he's wanting to take a picture of a sign, he can get his camera and him up higher, you know.
And he drives a Ford truck too, by the way.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. Ford Tough.
That's right.
Heck yeah, man. And so I got a step stool, which works out right with my tripod. And so we went over to the Arby sign and I metered it and I took a couple of pictures and I was really happy. And right before we left, I looked at the meter and realized I had underexposed it by 2 stops. Nice move, fuckface. It's perfect. I mean, like, I couldn't believe that. I was like, what? Like, I did everything right, except, no, I didn't do everything right, you know? But anyhow, so, that's gonna get pushed 2 stops, and I'll hope for the best. I don't know whatever else to say, but...
Nice. Wait,
you ever do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have 90% of everything right. Well, I suppose the ISO on the EI that you're shooting at is not 10%. It's more than 10%. But like, you know, like of the number of things you have to do to take a picture that you get correct, but then like that one thing that you
it's always the photo that I'm most excited about on the road that I managed to forget to do the main thing that was most important. Yeah. I think I get too excited about that scene, and then everything, all my knowledge about doing the right thing goes out the window. Like, and then but all the mundane stupid shots come out perfect. Yeah, that seems to be the par for the course for me. But yeah,
and I mean, like, I wonder to myself, like, would it be better to have not noticed the meter and wait till I got the film back, or was it better to have that kick in the shorts like right away, and actually be able to like say, oh, hey, can you push this 2 stops? I mean, like, pushing film doesn't fix, you know what I mean? It doesn't, it's not magical. It doesn't
right.
fix screw ups, but like, you know, maybe it'll work. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm a knucklehead. You know?
Yeah, you got anything else you're wanting to shoot this summer? Besides Harvey's big hats on?
Well, I will say this. On Sunday, so Saturday, by the time I got back to the hotel, by the time I turned in, it was like 1. And then on Sunday, I had plans. I've got a colleague who, did I already mention this? If I did, stop me. But he wants to take his daughter and her boyfriend out to some interesting places. So I suggested Bombay Beach. So we did kind of a reco over on Sunday, but we planned to meet at 5. So like I got about 4 hours sleep. No, 1 to 4. That's 3. So I got 3 hours sleep. Sorry, count that. Well, that's how I felt. You know, I'm welcome. But we drove out to Bombay Beach, and it was cool because it was like completely empty. But the one thing I didn't do, I took some Polaroids, which I love. It took me 4 Polaroids to get 2 good ones. But they have like this phone booth that's like got this like wire over to like this like antenna that's like a heart. With like the, it looks like, you know, it looks like one of those satellite TV antennas, but okay. It's like a heart, you know what
right.
I mean?
And right,
it's like,
okay.
And it's just like so cool. And I only took Polaroids of it. So I'm hoping maybe next week sometime I can get back there and take some, you know, other pictures of it. So maybe that's 5 minutes of stuff that nobody wanted to hear. I'm sorry if it was, but that's my other plan for this summer. Yeah. And whatever I can pick up along the way, I guess. But hey, going backwards, one success I had, I mentioned on the last time we were all together was my niece graduated high school.
And oh yeah. Yeah. You were going to do a photo booth, right?
I did. And it worked out good, man.
Awesome.
It worked out good. The Instax stuff. I mean, it was cool. And I had the 50-foot, you know, air blower shutter cable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cable is that. But you know what I mean? It's like the bulb.
The bulb shutter, like
yes. And I gave it to them, and they took a few pictures. They had a good time. It was good. And, yeah, it was really good. It was like a lot of effort, but it was so worth every bit of it. So,
oh, cool. Yes. I guess you were the talk of the event, right? Because of it, right?
Maybe. I was trying to recuse myself from that, though. I was trying to get out of the way. Because I figured the more I'm out of the way, the better it is.
Right. Was you able to say these photos are going to be extra and they're going to really help your riz, because these photos are going to drip, you know.
Okay, I will admit, Mike, that like, okay, so my niece, she kind of had enough drama in her life and she didn't really want to have a big party. Mm-hmm. So it was just like us and her family and another little bit of family. And she had 2 of her best girlfriends there. So there wasn't a huge amount of people. But like her, when her and her 2 girlfriends were going to take pictures, I was like, all right. I was like, look, I realize I'm like not young. But like, and I understand y'all have like a new sort of way you talk. I'm like, what is, when you say like it's fire, like what does that mean? And they didn't even bail me out. They just looked at me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It was like the biggest kick right in the wrong spot you could ever give me. So, like, I tried. I was like, and I did say something about what about drips? It did not connect. And, like, I started, you know, I wanted to run away.
I found I was up in my attic in the garage. I didn't fall out of it this time, thankfully. But I found this duffel bag
this time.
from the 90s that I guess I'd gotten free when I bought some Ralph Lauren Polo cologne. Right. Oh. There's this blue gym bag and it says Ralph Lauren Polo Sport on the side of it, right? You know, and so I my youngest son has been going to the gym. You know, he's trying to build up those muscles. He's trying to, you know, raise his riz, so I find this and I send him a text message. I was like, hey, by the way, found you a great bag for your great gym bag to take to the gym. You know, I said it's a Ralph Lauren gym bag. It's gonna really help your riz, and I mean this thing drips. And
that's what it is. You gotta combine the 2 words together.
I was able to use 2 words in 1 sentence, you know. And so and he just sent me a laughing emoji, and then so he's coming around to it. And so I dropped him off at the gym the other day. Guess what he had? the Ralph Lauren Polo Sport gym bag, you know. And so there you go. I think I'm starting to win. I think I'm starting to win. So, but, oh man. So all right. Well, I guess I should get to a little bit of.
What are you going to do this summer, man?
Obviously, the big thing is, you know, my son's home from college, and I've got all this color film that Mr. Ken Burcham so gratefully donated to the Gutterman cause, and so obviously, I want to go out and shoot a lot with Grant. I need to start making a day of it. The problem is he's working during the summer, so it's been hard to find time when he's not working and I'm not sleeping and I'm not working. But we're gonna have to figure out, carve out a time that we do this, like at least once a week or something like that. And he's down to do it. It's not like he didn't want to hang out with the old man. He just we just gotta work out these schedules, because the best day to do it is like Mondays, but he's working Mondays at the grocery store or whatever. So I don't know. We gotta figure something out, but. That's kind of why that hasn't happened. But so obviously that's on the table. And I kind of want to actually record some video of us doing this and put it up on the very dormant Negative Positives YouTube channel at some point. So because I've been wanting to do some YouTube stuff. I feel like that's the easiest start to try to get my feet wet and doing a little bit of YouTubing. And so that's kind of the ultimate goal. I don't know if the YouTube thing will happen, but definitely the going out and shooting with my son needs to happen. So, and I'll probably at minimum record some audio segments maybe to use on the show as well when we do that. But so that's the biggest plan. We're not doing, it doesn't look like we're going to do a Florida trip this year, because Florida is outrageously expensive now. And Mexico Beach, our beloved Mexico Beach, a place that used to cost us, I don't know, $1,000 to $1,500 to stay there for a week because it was old school Florida and it was, you know, it was a working man's beach town. Well, now the rich people have come in and bought up all the land, and it costs like $4,000 to $5,000 to stay there a week now. So that's above my pay grade. So doesn't really look like a beach trip is going to be happening anytime soon. So I think the goal is maybe take a couple little small trips around the state of Kentucky. And maybe I might just visit some little small towns and some there's a really beautiful place called Red River Gorge here in Kentucky that that we may rent a cabin at for a couple of days or whatever. But just trying to determine a couple of little small things we can do throughout the summer get me in a different location and excited about photography and that kind of thing. So and the other thing that I've been struggling with is going through like just my life in general, and it's so cluttered. Like I look around this garage, I look around our house, and you realize how much crap you accumulate throughout your life. And so part of decluttering is also I've got like way too many cameras, and I really do need to start figuring out what I really, really like to shoot and what's really necessary for the limited time I have for photography these days. And so there's a ton of cameras I have that I've yet to shoot or yet to shoot enough to really pass judgment on. So one of the things I want to do is start, you know, rather than taking the old reliables out that I'm used to shooting all the time, take some of these cameras that have been undershot and that I don't quite have my total final judgment on yet on these shoots and just give them a run, man, and see what I think about them. And also I think that will kind of help me, you know, feel a little more ambitious to go out and shoot. It's like, well, I'm going to try this camera out that haven't shot or have shot very rarely with. And I mean, I still have like a Kodak, a rangefinder that Roxana sent me years ago. It's sitting here. I was looking at me. I still have yet to shoot this thing. It's a Retina camera. And, you know, I have a lot of cameras like that that I know it's going to be fun to shoot, and I haven't shot them yet. And because it's when I go shoot, I always pick the ones that I'm comfortable with. Well, let's get uncomfortable this summer and shoot some of the things I'm not comfortable with, you know, and maybe that'll either open up a new horizon or firmly slam the door on that type of camera. You know, not sure which way that's going to go, but that's kind of been another
one way to know, right?
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's partially like, you know, motivating me to get out and shoot, to try these things, but also part of like the kind of realization at this point in my life that it's time to maybe start decluttering a little bit, because as somebody that has, you know, lost parents in the last several years, both Manette and I, and you see the kind of things that the previous generations leave behind. And like my dad particularly just left so much stuff behind that I'm still going through. And I realized, like, I mean, nothing against him, like, you know, but I don't want to leave my kids with all this. Like, if I, you know, when I go, I don't want to leave my kids with so much to deal with, you know. And right now, if I was to go tomorrow, there's a lot of stuff to deal with here, and things that they wouldn't even know what the hell it is, you know, like, particularly if like, my wife, if she was to go through my photography stuff, and she knows quite a bit about photography, she's seen me shoot all these things and stuff, but there's still things that she would have no idea what they are or how to get rid of it, you know, like,
and right. And where to go? What do you do with
it? Right. Like, and you know, I'm trying to simplify my life and simplify the lives of my sons when I leave this mortal coil, as they say, you know. And part of that, I think, is whittling down like some of these collections of camera gear and music gear and stuff that I've accumulated over, you know, 20, 30 years of being in these hobbies. I realize I've accumulated so much stuff that maybe some people other than me won't even know what the hell it is, you know? So that's kind of my goal this summer. That's a lot. That's very lofty. Like, this is probably my 5-year process that I just talked about. But
well, you guys get some of my cameras if I die before you.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, Andre. I mean, not that I want that to happen. We're older than you, so we gotta punch out before you.
Oh, absolutely.
Should be the other way around.
It's not the first adjective I was looking for.
What's that? Well, sorry.
Would you say Andre punching out is not the
No, I said awesome was not the first adjective I was expecting.
No, it's not awesome that you'd be gone. It's awesome. The context, man. The context.
It's awesome that you would think of us
yes,
as a
that's
benefactor.
That's the point.
Yes.
That
okay.
is the point.
I'll bill you out there, Cooks. But yeah. But
no, I mean, like, Mike, going back to your thing, like, I kind of ran up against that a little bit. Last, you know, we were doing some home improvements, and like, I realized, okay, before I can move the crap out of my office, I need to move the crap out of the attic so that
right.
then I can move the stuff from my office in the attic, right? You know what I mean? Like, but like, it is when you start looking at stuff and you think about it. I do remember, like, during that process at one point, and like, I woke up early in the morning, earlier than my alarm, and I was like, what happened if I have like 6 weeks to live? Like,
right.
You know, I think I had like some weird pain in my side or something like that. You know, it's one of those weird things.
Oh, yeah.
You start thinking like, what if that's terminal cancer and like pancreatic cancer, and I've got like, you know, a month to live. What am I leaving? What kind of crap am I leaving behind for my family to deal with?
Right.
I mean, like, sarcastically, I'd say they'd probably be happy, you know, that I'm gone. On one hand, but like, on the, which I hope isn't true. I'm sure
true.
It's not true. But like, on the other hand, but I'm like, what crap did I leave behind? I'm like, holy stuff. You know, all this, the different stuff you have in process, the stuff you have that you've been meaning to get rid of it, you know? So like, yeah. And then like when we were in it, so like I tossed a bunch of stuff in the attic, and then I tossed a bunch of stuff from my office and moved a bunch of stuff from my office downstairs. And then, like, in the process of trying to move it back upstairs, I was like, you know, I don't need this. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is an emotional connection to the things that you have. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever watched that show, Hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, yeah.
And you see people at the what
breaking
what
you, point.
What's the right way? Breaking point.
Right.
The natural conclusion of, you know what I mean, a problem. When, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, they like can't even move around their house, and like always there's like bugs and stuff under the floor.
Yeah.
And like,
it's usually like 10 dead cat skeletons for some reason. It seems to.
Oh my gosh. But like, you know, you watch that and you're like, oh my God, that's terrible. And then, but then you like look at the stuff that you're like, oh, should I throw this away? And I'm like, you know, you get this moment of this epiphany, or like, I understand how those people got to be the way they are.
Yeah.
I don't want to get there. I don't want anything to do with that, but like I can completely see it. And by the way, you know what I mean? Like this is like heavy for me to do. So I'm sure I'm not the only person, but anyhow, yeah, it's so when you're talking about like lightening the load and like kind of decluttering, I completely get it. And same thing.
Well, the thing is like I've realized that I've only lived in three houses in my entire life. Like I lived in my parents' house. We stayed in one house the entire time I was growing up. I got married. We bought our first house and we were in that house for 5 or 6 years. And then we've been in this house now for over 20 years. So when you don't move a whole lot, moving sometimes is a perfect time to declutter, right? Oh, yeah. Because you don't want to move all this stuff. Well, we haven't moved a whole lot. As a matter of fact, it's been over 20 years since we have moved. So I haven't had to like force myself to like, I ain't moving all this crap, man. I'm getting rid of a bunch of this. But now I feel like I need to do this because there is a thing to be said, man, about like living a little bit more minimal, you know, decluttering. Yes. Possessions also declutters your life, you know. So I think it's part of this camera thing that I'm going to go through is trying to determine what I do have an emotional connection to and get rid of the things that I don't, you know. So yeah, but there you go.
It's tough because like one of the big things I had to deal with was like I used to my crack used to be model airplanes and like like reference books, and my whole bookshelf was full of books about airplanes, and the act of having to carry those things downstairs got me thinking, like, you know, do I need all these, or if I had to move tomorrow, would I want to haul all this stuff with me?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's a point of clarity, if that makes any sense. But
books are extremely difficult, strangely, to get rid of. Like
no, because. Dude, they're like tools,
right?
They're not tools, but like in my box, in my toolbox from when I was a technician, that's in my garage, you know, there are a ton of tools that you might only ever need once in 10 years,
right?
But you need them, you know what I mean? So like you never get rid of tools because if you ever have to buy them again, they'll be five times the price.
Oh yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's only logic.
Unless you buy it from Harbor Freight and you use it one time, throw away.
Absolutely. You know, I was just talking to the guy the other day about that. Was like, yep, you only buy if you buy something from Harbor Freight, you don't want to stand on it or you don't want to use it more than once. You know what I mean? Like that's
don't buy anything that rotates or or anything your life depends on. Yeah.
but like on the other side of that though, books are they're not tools, but they are. I don't know how to describe it, but they're things you don't want to let go of because they hold promise. They hold information. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to describe, but I totally, you know, and so like when I went through these purges in my old place, like I found myself feeling really crappy afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'm like, okay. Like I realized it, why I felt that way, and I should have been able to just deflect it. But like, yeah, so I get it. I get exact. I'm not trying to talk about me, but what I'm trying to say is like, I understand what you're saying and where you want to go.
I found this, it's in the box, new in the box. I never took it out of the box, but it's like I don't know what the size is, like one, you know, the bigger, like die-cast car like replicas or car like 1/16 or one, I don't know what size they are. I don't, but they're about, I don't know, probably, I don't know, 6 to 8 inches long, you know, about that big. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I have one. It's a Pontiac Fiero, and it looks just like I used to have, and it's in the box still. And like I can never get rid of it. But my son's like, I will never get rid of it. Like, and like, it's literally the exact model of Pontiac Fiero that I had. And, but you know, when I'm gone, my sons aren't going to care about that, but I can personally never get rid of it. It's just, you know, but it's just sitting in a cabinet, you know, but, yeah.
But if you explained why it was important to you, I mean, you might not want to based on like a few of the things you've said, right? Like, you know, there's some romantic moments in there, you know what I mean? So maybe you don't want to tell that to your sons, but you know, I mean, like, but really, if you told them why it was important to you.
Well, it was the car that I dated their. It's the car that I dated their mother. That's when I picked her up on our first date. You know, it's that was the car. You know, so that,
maybe yeah. maybe you shouldn't judge that they wouldn't want it.
Yeah,
no, maybe they would. Maybe today they wouldn't want it.
Right,
but like if you fast forward to the point when you know you're not around, it might change. Yeah. I don't know. Like that's the tough part, right? Like that's the same thing. Like what I was going through is like. Looking at stuff like, is this something that I want? Is this something that should like follow me when I'm gone? Or is this something, you know, it goes back to when, what was that when you were asking people to call in and talk about like when you're gone, what people
would do? The legacy, photographic
legacy. The legacy, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe not necessarily a photographic legacy, but like, just like a legacy period, would your family care about it, and or would they not, and would they see you in these things or not? You know,
yeah,
but the funeral true. For sure, man. And I will tell you, man. From my side, I definitely had a mile car problem, the 143rd ones.
Right.
And that was one of those things that like I had to be brutal. I saved three. I probably had 100, and I just put them all in garbage bags, and I was like. Take it to the Goodwill.
Oh, wow.
It's like, wow. You know what I mean? And then my wife's like, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, and like, so she picked out a few that she gave to some friends that liked them. But I was like, mm-hmm. I've got the three that mean something to me that I was involved in, you know, and I was like, that have a connection to me. And then the rest of them gone. And
I think it's the lesson of this talk is you got to figure out what really you actually have a real emotional connection to and get rid of the things that you don't, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, we've gone on a while here. This is gonna be a long episode, much longer than I thought it was gonna be. But I think we talked about some photography in this episode. I think
we did. We talked about plenty. We talked about the Cinestill photo walk. We talked about darkroom printing with Omid. We talked about, you know, your cameras. We talked.
We talked about about your all's relationship hitting another level, and so you know, I think it's important that we get there. But
Andre's back problems really.
All right.
I mean, you shouldn't be able to walk right the next day. I mean, that's the sign of a good time, right? Isn't it?
Oh goodness.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but likewise, I know that's what you're always thinking.
Right.
You can cut that out, Mike, please.
No, I won't. You know I won't. this episode is going to be too long for me to do any really editing to it. So, you know, that's crazy talk. But, all right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Andre, you got any final comments? You've been quiet for a while. I'm going to make sure I'm only doing this to make sure you're still awake, actually. But.
I'm awake. Any final?
He's just been laughing on mute.
Any final thoughts? Yeah, it is hopefully bright and sunny where you are. And you should shoot some Cinestill 50D so that you can actually, you know, do your wide open aperture, shallow depth of field portraits on a sunny day.
There you go. Actually, that's a good point. I would actually, since we had a talk about our plans this summer, I would love to get some call-ins about your plans, listener plans for their summer shooting would be nice to get, because I have one more listener episode that has been submitted from Mr. Mario Piper. I'm going to have an episode with him. He's going to be talking about the Pentax KX, which I'm a big fan of that camera. So we're going to have an episode with Mario probably coming up. I'll probably put it out next week or in the next week or two. But after that, I do have a camera review from Mr. Theo Panagopoulos, so you can pretty much assume that'll be a small part of one show. But
it's good.
And but that's all we got. We are literally out of after that we are out of listener call-ins, so we would love to get some call-ins or even full episodes from any of you fine people listening to let us know what your plans are for your summer shooting, if you're in the place of the earth where it is summer, or if you are in the other place where it's not summertime, and maybe what you plan on doing for your winter shooting, all those people down under, I guess. So there you go. But hey, so Mike, yeah,
I've got a couple lined up. I've got an interview with someone that's been on the show before.
Okay.
Who everybody loves.
Awesome.
And then I've got two lined up from people who have not been on the show before. And one of them is a Canuckian, and one of them is from Down Under. So
there you go.
They're freaking amazing. So, and also I've got a solo set up, and I want to talk about gas, but I not about gear gas. I want to talk about technique gas.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know.
A little preview of upcoming negative positives episode. So that's good. It's even giving people little teasers, because if there's one thing we like to do is tease. And,
that's the best thing you could possibly do. Leave them want more.
No, I don't think they're going to want more after this episode. But there we go.
Well, that's all right. Hope. That's the idea.
Right. All right, we're going to get on out of here. Folks, everybody, have a great week or two until we return. You'll have an episode with Mario Piper coming soon from the Gen X Photography Podcast. That'll be our next episode, I believe. So, but until then, everybody stay positive.
And shoot some cool film photos.
Cooks was getting ready to bail Andre out, but Andre came through, so you know that's good.
Knucklehead,
you need
to get rid of me, man.
No, teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, you know. So, all right, folks, we will talk to you soon. Take care.
This is Mike Kukovica, otherwise known as Kooks, and you can find me on Instagram at The Drunk Darkroom.
This is Andre Dominguez. You can find me on Instagram at Andre on Film.
And I'm Mike Gutterman. You can see my photography on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We also have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives. You can support this program on Ko-fi. That is ko-fi.com/negative positives. And you can get my music on Bandcamp at mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. A Gutterman Cave Production!